Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I am exhausted, super tired. I'm doing this intro on a Tuesday and this goes up on a Wednesday. We had the conversation recorded on a Monday. So just last minute, and this week's been not great so far. I've wanted to quit my job 2 days in a row now. So me and my friend Ellie, who's a very funny comedian, we talk about it a little bit in this episode. And just a bad couple of days. Everyone has them. This is not a fucking pity party. You know, we all have bad days. And it's just one of those, it's like you're questioning everything, your life choices. You know, you should have went to college, right? But with the job I have, I would have to quit the job, my day job, and then I would just go to another company and do the same exact thing. And that doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, if you quit your job, you want to, like, climb the ladder a little bit, right? You don't want to be at McDonald's and then you quit and then you walk across the street over to Burger King and you fill out an application. It doesn't make any sense, you know? So, yeah. So I really appreciate Ellie doing this. I hope the conversation gets you through. It's, you know, less time you have to listen to me up top, right? So she's a very funny comedian from Plymouth, Michigan. I've always considered her an Ann Arbor comic for some reason, because she hangs out with the Ann Arbor comedians a lot. And I've never seen her do stand-up. There's a handful of people that I met through the pandemic on Zoom, and Ellie's one of them. And from what I can tell, she's very funny, very intelligent. And I've heard nothing but good things from other people, so I can't wait to actually see her do stand-up. Hopefully in May, when I think I'm going to be out and about, and I think she is too. So I hope you enjoyed the conversation. This is the very, very funny Ellie Snyder.
Well, I'm not moving, and I'm not trying. It's so petrifying, maybe some other time.
I hate looking at myself on Zoom because my hairline is fucked up and getting worse, and I'm only 25 and a woman.
Dude, they do say it. You know, it's true that they say more women have thinning hair than more men.
Yeah, I mean, a lifetime of ponytails tighter than cats' buttholes, and that's what's gonna happen. It's a tragedy.
It's you'll be fine. Look, it's fine. You know, maybe it stops where it's at. It's not noticeable. I haven't noticed. And hey, here's the good thing. You're settled down. What does it matter? Right?
I mean, I don't have to be hot anymore.
Right. And I love that you're saying that in your 20s. That's great. Hey, it's working.
Oh, yeah,
if you can say that in your 20s, it's working out for you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Like, I never have to try again. Yeah, I'm so excited. Like, I peaked at 20 and I'm half a decade on, getting grosser by the day.
Oh, man. So look, I almost, thank you for doing this, by the way.
Oh yeah, for sure. I was so excited when you asked.
Well, you're definitely on the list. I usually don't do it during weekdays cause I'm so exhausted, but I did Bozanovic last Monday and you're this Monday. So it's, you know, it happens here and there, but I almost canceled because I texted you. I was like, I'm getting off work later than I thought, you know? And then I was having one of those days where I'm like, am I going to fucking quit this job? Like, I might quit this job today.
I feel that. Wait, are we allowed to talk about where we work on the podcast?
Yeah, I'll just say, yeah, we can. Well, it doesn't make us look like we're successful comedians, but sure. I'll just say I fertilize lawns for a company. I'll say that.
Gotcha.
So I do, you can call it landscaping lawn care, but I'd like to think that I'm slightly better than people that mow lawns. I'm kidding when I say that, by the way. But it's basically, I fertilize lawns and I do mosquito control sometimes. That's basically what I do. But,
oh, nice.
But, and I like it because I get winters off, which is great for comedy, right?
Yeah.
And I generally see people for the first 15 minutes of the day and that's it. Then I work by myself. I listen to podcasts and music. It's great. I'm by myself. But the amount of work we do like 40 stops a day. It's ridiculous. It's a lot of stops.
Oh God.
But I like the physicality of it. Cause it kind of, you know, I'm still going to lose weight because of it. It's going to help me keep in shape a little bit to a degree, you know?
Yeah.
But
no, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I do like that. But, and here's the thing. you can have like an a half-assed job if you're chasing a dream. You know what I mean?
Because you got your job that gives you health insurance, so you can treat your mental, my various mental illnesses. And then I have my fun job, which isn't really a job, but you know.
Right. But you're hoping like it's that full-time job eventually, you know?
Oh, that's the dream. But I do like my job. I
was about to say, what do you do during the day?
Yeah, today I opened 1,000 envelopes. Oh, wow. And I got zero paper cuts.
There you go. Hey, we all have goals, you know?
A paper cut free day is a real win.
It's pretty good. It's pretty solid.
One time I got my blood all over an important like document.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I gave up that day. I said, we're done. I've vampired all over this.
What kind of company do you work for? You don't have to say the name, obviously, but.
I work for a nonprofit, which makes me feel good about myself.
It should. That's great.
Yeah. Even though I'm objectively not like the nicest person.
I mean, I would disagree with that. I mean, unless you're putting on an act, then it's pretty good if you're putting it on. So I believe it. You know what I mean? I believe you're a nice person. So keep doing what you're doing, you know?
I watched the Say Yes to the Dress clips where the mothers are mean to their bride daughters. And I think it's funny.
Yeah, it is funny, but it's also sad at the same time.
Yeah, it's like a sick sort of, it's disastrous.
Right.
Perversely funny.
It's like watching someone fall. You're like, this is not like it's not healthy, but it's funny. You know what I mean? Like
if it's going to happen anyway, I should watch.
100%.
Yes.
Before you hopped on here, we started doing the podcast. I was reading a post from MCN where someone was like, do you consider yourself like to do comedy for a hobby? I think you saw this because I think you liked one of the posts. Yeah.
I think we liked each other's thing. Yeah. We both commented on the post.
I don't know if I don't think I commented. I was just reading it now, but I noticed that you liked something. Cause you know how you always check it out and say, who's reading this?
Yeah.
But there was a part of me that was like, it's a solid question. But then I saw Sievert's answer where Pat was like, it's more than a hobby, but it's not a career. And which I get because you gotta go with what pays the bills right now and what you know, health insurance, all that stuff. But it broke my heart a little bit because Pat is one of the funniest fucking people. He's been on this podcast, actually, one of the funniest people. And I'm like,
correct.
If you're not doing it for a career, I mean, that's a shame. But
I have a snowball's chance in hell.
But I get what he's saying though. Like you have to, you know, he just bought a house. It's a weird, you know, you're still what, about a year and a half, 2 years in? You're still fairly in that new zone, right?
Yeah, I had a year and then COVID.
Okay, so about a year. So you're in the, it's weird to look, Pat's been doing it for 7-8 years. I've been at it for like 10. It's weird to, like, when do you make that decision, right? When do you go, all right, I'm all in. This is all I'm doing now. And normally I think that's when you move, but I'm not moving.
Yeah, I just bought a house. I'm also not moving.
I don't think there's anything wrong with being a comedian with a day job, obviously. A lot of people do that. There's comics that are on TV that still have day jobs. I did kind of get it, like, when I read that question, I was like, because then Sam answered it. We both know Sam. Sam's like my bestie, one of the funniest people. And she was like, well, I was paying my bills at one point with it. And it's just like, man, that's a rough question to answer, you know?
It's sobering. I'm like, oh, well, people who are 10 times better than me still aren't doing this full time. Yeah, like you said, like, oh.
Like, Pat's great.
Like, he's awesome. But I'm like, oh, shit, I have like 1,000 years to go until I'm as good as he is. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably around 40,000 years.
Yeah. When you're hairless and.
And shriveled.
Yeah. No, but it is, you're right. It's a sobering question. It really makes you think and you go, fuck, because I've done that where I'm like, I'm 10 years in and I go, what is the end game here? Like, what is.
Yeah. Why do we do this?
Yeah. Like, I think the end game,
fun.
It's fun. It's a community where, and let's be honest, it's more fun if you're good at it. You're good at it. I'm good at it. Like, it's fun when it's going well.
Yeah, like it's less fun when you bomb your nips off and then you're crying in a Wendy's drive-thru at 11:45 on a Wednesday. And you're like, well, this wasn't how life was supposed to go.
Been there, done that 100. There's a photo of me somewhere with Sam and we had just done this shit gig and we're both eating like fast food. And you could just tell like we're just making ourselves feel better.
That's a comfort burger. That's not a nutrition burger.
No, not at all. But yeah, you do kind of think, you know, it does make me go, man, what is the end game here? And I feel like, you know, I think a lot of us that have day jobs, we're doing this and we think we're good at. Here's what makes me mad is when somebody quits their job, this is their only job is comedy. And they're like a hack. That makes me angry when I'm like, this is all you do? You're bad at it? Holy shit.
I couldn't just do comedy and not constantly be like a panicking ball of anxiousness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like I like my health insurance. I like my structure.
Here's the thing. This is probably goes for more for guys than women. But here's the thing. If I'm on Tinder, right? If I'm on Tinder or Bumble, and it says job, what do I put? Do I put stand-up comedian or do I put lawn technician? You know what I mean? Like what sounds...
Yeah, it's like what describes your very ethos?
Yes. Like, because, you know, we all have those, and I'm guilty of, I have it too. It says works at stand-up comedian. If you go on my Facebook, it says works at and it's like, yeah, I do work at stand-up comedian, but sometimes it's not like, it's not my main source of income. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel that before COVID, it was like, oh, I would get paid sometimes. And it was just fun. It was just you ever have like a Sunday at 2 where you get $50 worth of sushi for yourself, like twice a year, and you just be a shit? That's what I do. I did that yesterday. It's my self-care Sunday. And I get a six roll platter for myself.
I've never had sushi. I'm a fish person, but I don't know about cold fish. Never had sushi. Convince me.
It slaps. I don't really know much about how it's prepared or like, all I know is that when I was 19, a guy that I liked who I wanted to be cool in front of said, let's get sushi. And so I said, okay, we got the most basic rolls because we were poor college students and something about like the coolness and the delicious spicy mayo just together. Like I meant coolness is in temperature, not like we looked cool because we did not look cool.
Right.
We were trying so goddamn hard. We were both in black turtlenecks.
It's pretentious.
It is. Yeah. I get the cheap rolls, my cheap platter of six rolls, but some are like very decadent and beautiful. And I'm like, no, give me the cold dead animal and the boiled grain. And that's all I want.
You know what? Maybe, you know, for my birthday, I'll have some sushi. Maybe I'll try. I do like fish. I've had cold chicken. Love cold chicken. You make chicken, you have leftovers, you put it in the fridge. I don't think I've ever had cold fish. I don't know how I would like that. You know what I mean?
It's good. It just tastes really like fresh. Okay. Like I always feel like I'm very healthy eating sushi, even when I get one like actual raw fish roll and 5 tempura rolls.
Right. I don't know what
like,
those
oh,
are.
Hell
but...
yeah. Oh, it's the fresh sushi, but fried.
Okay. But you're taking a chance, right? You got to make sure where you're getting the sushi. Like I know some gas stations that sell sushi and I'm like, people that are buying
mercy.
This are,
No, that's like a compassionate euthanization right there. Gas station sushi.
I'll have 10 on a pump 4 and some mercury poisoning. So,
oh God. No.
Yeah.
No, we have this place by our house where we love to go.
I told you I almost quit today. Like I got back to the shop.
Yes.
Like I'm thinking about, so here's the thing with my job. You have to have like, to make extra money, you have to hit a certain percentage. And I think that percentage is 95% of your stops. So if you get like 40 stops, if you get like 40 stops a day, you have to complete 95% of them. And this is the first season in the 9 years I've been doing this where I was like, you know what? I'm actually going to care about percentage. I'm going to try to make some extra cash here. You know what I mean? Make some bonus money.
Yeah.
And I've been pretty good so far. Okay. But then I knew this was going to happen. I'm like, if they start giving me more stops because I'm completing more stops, I'm going to be furious.
No.
So today I had 41, which is a lot, but most people get about anywhere from late 30s to early 40s is about how many stops we have. So I look at tomorrow's stops because you can check your next day. I'm in the hardest part of my route, where everything is under measured. Like they're saying they're smaller and they're bigger lawns. And I have 47 stops. And I'm literally thinking about calling in just going, hey, I'm taking a personal day today. I'm going to take a mental health day today. Because if I come in, I will quit. Like yes. I'll be coming in just to quit. It's either you give me the day off.
Oh God, that's so evil.
I quit my job because now here's the thing. Sometimes they do take away stops early in the morning, overnight, and I won't have as many, but then it affects my percentage because they're taking stops away from me. Gotcha. So it's like, I'm going to end up working like another fucking 12-hour day tomorrow and probably not get home till 7:30 again, maybe later. Here's the thing about my job is I have to take a test every 3 years because I have an applicator's license because you're putting chemicals on people's lawns.
So yeah.
I have an applicator's license. So a lot of companies send me stuff in the mail every year to just go work there. The thing about doing this job is I could just quit and go work somewhere else and it wouldn't be a problem. And my buddy who works for another company has been trying to get me over there for the longest time. But here's the problem. Where I work now, I work 4 days a week, Monday through Thursdays, and sometimes on Fridays. If they take volunteers, I'll come in on Fridays. But I at least have every Saturday and Sunday off and some Fridays. This other place, they work 6 days a week. They work less hours.
Oh. Like
they don't work longer. They don't work as long as days, but they work 6 days a week. And I'm like, man, it's a hard pull. Those 2 days. Yeah. And then if I go out of town to do shows, what do I got to fucking take a Friday and a Saturday off? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, like I would much rather work a longer day.
Yeah.
But then have fewer days where I worry about work at all. My dream schedule is like 12 and a half hours, 3 days a week. Just ruin my life for those three days, but then give me a 4 day weekend.
Yeah, that is. I used to work at Taco Bell in my early 20s and they gave me.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was amazing. They gave me 4 10-hour days and it was, but working fast food for 10 hours. Woo, let me tell you something.
Ooh, it is,
it's brutal. And you're just eating Taco Bell. All day.
Fueled solely by melted cheese and prayer.
Dude, that's when I could eat though, and it wouldn't affect. I could just put it down, and it would just come off like nothing.
Oh yeah,
you know,
22 free reign at a Taco Bell kitchen. Let's go.
It was the best. Have you ever had any?
Make me regret being born.
Have you had any customer service jobs?
The job I'm at now is technically customer service, but usually people are nice. Mm-hmm. But since I was like from 17 to 22. I had multiple customer service, actually food service jobs. And oh God, I worked at Jimmy John's for a hot second. I ran food at a bar just off campus. I worked at a coffee place inside one of my college's libraries. People suck.
At least two or three times a year, I call my boss and I go, hey, I just yelled at this person, so you might get a phone call.
You got to be preemptive about it. No, at my coffee gig, when I knew I was going to get a complaint, I would always email my boss because I'd get out ahead of it. Because if you get out ahead of it, then you can explain yourself.
100%.
And then you look good.
Yes.
Like owning your shit, even if it technically wasn't a mistake and it's not my fault that this person somehow got into college and doesn't know how to order coffee. Like that's not a me problem. Or read an open sign, read the goddamn hours of business.
Yes.
So our coffee store closed at 1 a.m. and I did a lot of closing shifts because it was my senior year and I had like 2.5 classes. Mm-hmm. And one time I got a formal complaint from someone that I wouldn't give them a coffee at 1:15. I was like, do you not know that 1:15 is more minutes past midnight than 1?
Yes.
How do you go to engineering school, you child?
Yeah, dude. Oh, my God. There's nothing more refreshing than losing it on a customer, though. Like, you get it. You kind of, because you're taking all the other customers out on that one customer.
Oh, yeah. It's not just them. It's the whole work experience.
Yes. Yes. That's why I love the job I have, though, is because I rarely see customers. They're not home most of the time. And if they are home, they'll just kind of wave at you through the window. And the beautiful thing about the pandemic, even though some people don't care, is you see less customers. And it's great.
Oh, yeah, the dream.
100%. But last year I had a woman, this is like the thing that happens a lot, is we're very fast. Like it takes me just a few minutes to do someone's lawn if it's like an average size lawn. We're very fast because we have to be. Nice. Well, that's, and yeah. And sometimes people Hell won't. Yeah. Sometimes people won't see us do the backyard, and they'll come out and they'll be like, "I didn't see you do the backyard." I'm like, "Well, just because you didn't see it doesn't mean like we're very fast." I went to this lady's house, and she just, here's the thing. Ask me some questions. Don't accuse me right away. Some lawn companies in the past have gotten in trouble for ghosting lawns, and that's where they just stop at the lawn and that's it. And they just do the paperwork and they hang it up like they did it and they get in trouble, which is ridiculous. I've never ghosted someone's lawn ever in the 9 years of doing this. I have too much of a guilty conscience. So, because people pay money for this shit.
You're a good person.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay. So I go to this woman's house and I'm about to do a lawn. She just comes out and she goes, The first thing she says to me is, "You don't do the backyard." And I was like, "I do the backyard," and because I do her house all the time. I was like, "I do the backyard." She goes,
"Yeah."
Well, I've been told by the people working in the deck in the backyard that you don't do the backyard. And I looked her right in the eyes and I go, "I don't care what the people doing your deck say. I do the backyard."
Good.
And she just gave me this look like, "What the fuck did you say?" And then she walked back in and slammed the door. And that's when I called my boss and said, "Hey, just to let you know." She's
there was a situation.
Yeah. And then this is one of my favorite ones that happened a couple of years ago. And then I want to ask you about some of your workhorse stories, because customer service stories are my favorite. This happened a couple of years ago. I went to this lady's house and music blasting. You could just hear music blasting from inside the house. So I go, "I'm not going to knock on the door. She's not going to hear me knocking on the door," because we're supposed to knock on doors. But I was like, she's not going to hear me. So I do the lawn. I'm hanging up the bill, whatever, the paperwork. And she comes out, she goes, "I didn't see you do the backyard." And I was like, I did the backyard. And she goes, "Well, I saw you back there, but nothing was coming out of the spreader." And I was like, "So you think that I'm going to go back there and pretend that I'm doing your back lawn?" It makes zero sense.
Tell her to go out there and lick the yard and see what happens.
So I showed her. I was like, "Come on, I'll show you I put a granular down. I'll show you the granular fertilizer put down. You can see it." And sometimes you can see it. And she comes out and she's looking and she can clearly see it. I know she can see it. And she just goes, "I still don't believe you." And I was like, "All right, well, you can just call my boss." And she's like, and I told her at one point, because this was like one of the hottest days of the year. It was like 95 degrees out.
Oh,
and I told her, "Ma'am, it's one of the hottest days of the year." And she goes, "I don't give a shit how hot it is." And I go, "Well, look, you're having a bad day right now. And I'm just the person that's around to absorb your bad day. So I'm going to go, you call my boss, let him know." And then I call my boss, of course. It's just I just don't put up with, like, I don't put up with people's shit. I really don't. Especially if it's a friend, I have more patience for friends. It takes me a lot to lose it on a friend. But if it's a stranger that I don't know you and you're pushing my buttons, I'm surprised I haven't been in more fights with just people in general. Cause what about you? What are some of your whore customer service stories?
Oh God. Okay. So there was this guy. So, I was a barista for 2 years and, somebody ordered like an extra dry cappuccino.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "Okay, like I'll make that for you." So I did. I set it on the counter. I called his number. He was over talking to his friends. And then I just got started in the next, you know, little slew of drinks. He finally like trundles over 10 minutes later to get his, you know, basically espresso scented milk foam. that he paid $4 for, because I don't know, Ann Arbor's whack. And then he pops the little lid off, and it, like, his drink has like settled down considerably, and he's like, "Well, this isn't full. Like, why is it not full?" And I'm like, "Oh, it would have been full 10 minutes ago." Got him. The worst part is he was one of my friend's friends.
I
knew him. So it's like, if you would have just been like nice and been like, "Hey, can you top this off? I'm sorry." I would have been like, "For sure." But he was a giant ween.
Yeah.
And I hope he never finds happiness.
How hard is it to be nice? It's not hard. It's pretty.
You get so much free shit if you're nice.
Yeah. It's pretty easy to be nice. It's also.
Yeah. Like when I worked at the bar, like, we could up, or even when I work at the coffee shop, it's like, if it takes 1,000 years, my boss is like, yeah, like you can make someone's drink a little bit bigger, like at the bar, give someone more of an appetizer. Like you get free shit if you're not an asshole.
Yeah. It's dude, just like the comedy thing, you know, we have all this drama going around this past couple weeks. I've posted about stuff and other people have posted about stuff. Oh, did you? I got to read some of the posts. The algorithm
Mine was just sarcastic.
Okay. The algorithm is so fucked. Sometimes I'm like, how come I haven't seen this person on Facebook in forever? I'm like, what's happened?
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, they're still around. They're not showing up my feed for some reason. It takes more energy to be a dick.
Yeah.
Because there's repercussions for that.
What are you proving?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no repercussions for being nice, you know?
Yeah, like yeah, there's no ripple.
And this is like a business where fucking networking is everything. It's every yeah. I just hit up Andy Beningo. Do you know who Andy Beningo is?
Yeah.
Great guy, funny comic.
Nice. I love him.
Dude, he is the definition of a professional comic to me. And I worked the road with him when I was early on. He took me on the road and I just hit him up last week, which I don't know why I didn't do this 5 years ago, but I just hit him up last week. I was like, hey, what are some of your contacts? Can you shoot me some of your contacts so I can start working some different rooms? And he's like, yeah. And he was nice. He fucking sat down and he gave me like a bunch of contacts. And, nice. and you know why? You know why? Cause I'm nice to him and we're friends. And that's how you fucking get more work, is you're nice to people. And being funny definitely helps, but being nice probably helps more. Let's be honest. So
yeah, nobody wants to hang out with you if you're a complete dick, even if you do make people laugh.
Yes. And if you're, dude, there's three people on this planet that can get away with being an asshole and still work anywhere they want. And none of them live in Michigan. So I asked you to think of a scary story, something that happened to you.
So this is not supernatural, but it is terrifying. So when I was a senior in high school, I was teaching music lessons just because I was a music major in college, and then all of my dreams died. But I was driving to one of my students' houses because I just taught kids like in their homes, and I drove. It had rained pretty hard, maybe a couple hours earlier, but it wasn't that bad. But I drove into a bunch of downed power lines.
What?
And they draped over my 1998 Toyota Avalon like pythons and vines that could strangle me. This is in Kalamazoo, where I grew up.
So you're just now, is it nighttime at this point, you said? Or is it?
Yeah. It was like probably about how it is now, like not pitch dark, but like pretty dark.
So you could see that you drove into them. You couldn't see.
I couldn't see until they were like draped over my car.
Holy shit. And are they live, or were they live?
So that's what I didn't know, which is that's never something you want to leave to chance, is something I learned as a child. I freaked out and I opened the door to my car and I hopped out, but I was careful to like hop on the balls of your feet and like hop, you know, land at the same time. I Googled it, you know, just to maximize my chances of survival.
While you were in the car, you Googled it?
Yeah. It turns out you're not supposed to leave your car. Cause I'm a dog shit Googler.
Wait a minute. So did you Google it and it said that and you're like, fuck Google. And then you.
No. So what I Googled instead of like what I would Google now is power lines on car,
right.
Google. So what I did then was how to hop out of car with power lines. Like I didn't give myself an option B. I was like, fuck it, we're leaving the vehicle.
Yeah.
So I get out of, we're not to the end of the nightmare.
Next thing you know, you're on Reddit. It's very weird. Go ahead.
Oh God. So I jump out and I hit the ground and then I just like scurry away. But because I'm dumb as shit, I didn't put my car in park.
Oh no. Is it in neutral?
So no, it wasn't in drive. That's all I knew, but it just kind of started like rolling.
Okay.
Like a little bit. So probably neutral.
Yeah.
Cause drive, it would be like actually moving.
Yeah. No, yeah,
but it just started to like
You wouldn't know if it was a drive.
It'd be cruising. But because it was moving away, but not worryingly fast. But the problem was it was carrying my very expensive instrument.
Which was what?
My French horn.
Okay.
That's what I majored in. Yeah. Sort of watched as my livelihood just sailed into downed power lines.
Oh my God, this is so scary.
So then I called the fire department, or I called 911.
Yeah.
Because it was still kind of storming, and I guess the aftermath of a storm where all the emergency, the fire people are out doing shit.
Yes.
So they're it's going to take a while. So at this point, my car had stopped. I don't know how it stopped, but it did. But it was still in downed power lines. The car didn't take off down the street. It maybe moved 5 feet.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that bad. But then I started to cry because I was a child. And I got rescued by
I'd cry now. Go ahead.
It was not great, but I got rescued by a very religious family in their minivan. There was this a family in a minivan drove by and took pity on. I think they discovered my car just snared in electricity, and I was crying near it. So they let me in their car, yeah. Which you're not supposed to do. I'm tripping over my words and saying every other word. But I saw that there were kids in the car, so I thought, okay, I'm not gonna get taken to a basement, probably.
Right.
So hopped in, and they're like, "Oh, you can wait with us." But then I noticed they were quite religious because they had a bumper sticker of a pretty fundamental church in our town, as well as one of those hood ornament things.
Yeah.
So I was in there just making small talk with these kids, and these kids were kind of creepy.
They all have white hair.
They didn't act like kids. No, yeah, they were undead children. But no, they didn't act like kids. They acted like mini adults.
Yeah.
Which creeped me out. Well, I started thinking, I was like, what if these are decoy kids? And what if I am going to get killed?
Decoy kids?
Yeah. What if these are what if they're not their real kids, and this is just how they lure 18-year-old horn players into the murder van? It's
very specific. Parents and was it parents and the kids?
Yes, it was two parents, two kids.
Okay, so probably a family, a brother and sister, probably, or brother.
Yeah, brother sister. Yeah, they were little. I mean, not they were early elementary school, maybe five or seven, okay. Or seven. But they weren't fun or playful. They were just sort of they were how I am now, just very depressed and withered vegetables.
So what happened with, the car?
So the lines were not live. That's what the fire department determined, which I don't know how they determined, I don't know if they got the fire person that they hated the most to lick the lines. I don't know how they figured that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're oh, the lines aren't live. Good job, but you shouldn't have jumped out, you little nightmare.
Yeah.
How did I not have those critical thinking skills? My Google ability.
How old were you at this point?
17, 18.
Okay.
Old enough to know how to use search engines.
Yeah, but also you're probably panicked, right? I mean,
very panicked.
Yeah. So when you're panicked, you're not thinking straight. It's just. So that's what it is. I mean, you're clearly an intelligent person. But when you're put in a certain situation, you don't know how you're going to, you'd like to think I'll be the coolest, calmest person, but that would be freaking out too. That's really scary.
It was. And then, so the fire department, there's a horrifying epilogue.
Love it.
So the fire person was like, "Hey, you're good. Nothing's going to happen to you. Get back in your car and go to the kid's house to teach him." And so I said, okay. So I got back in my car that was coated with all of these heavy duty electrical wires. And then I just drove off trailing them behind me. Sad little tentacles.
Yeah. Kind of poetic in a way.
It was rough.
Just about a month ago, I was washing my hands in my kitchen sink And at first I thought like maybe my nails were too short and I just got some type of juice in there or something from when I was washing my hands. Cause I was like, I was getting like shocks on my fingers. I was like, what is that?
Yeah, that's weird.
It's weird. And then I didn't think about it too much. And then later that night I was doing dishes and I was like, ow, what is, and it turns out there was something wrong under the sink with, I don't know fucking stuff. I'm not a man. I didn't have a dad. But there was like something wrong with the sink. The maintenance guy had to come out and like, I was being electrocuted like lightly, nothing crazy, but I'm like, yeah, like even that.
Oh,
is,
Jesus.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a situation. So I had to like
a light dusting.
Yeah. Like enough to be like you're feeling like you're pinched when you're putting it on. You're like, oh, that's uncomfortable. You know? So I had to call my landlord. I was like, yeah, I think I'm being electrocuted when I'm doing the dish. She's like, what? What's happening?
Oh no.
Yeah. So
that's not fun or cute. That's not a nice look.
Not at all. So that, yeah, that's scary, dude. I think when I was a kid, I touched a down power line and it was live and it just shocked me. Like I must've been like, and this is probably pre-teenage years. And I think I got shocked by it. Nothing crazy, but enough to go, right, I'm not going to do that ever again. You know what I mean?
Yep. Nope.
And I
was good.
There was
you.
No Google back then. You know what I mean? I couldn't be like, hey, what's this?
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, and you're a dumb kid. You try to figure out things for yourself, you know?
Yep. Trial and error, but the error is you pass on.
Great. yeah, it's a big error. It's not.
It's the forever error.
Yeah, you can't even. There's not even a lesson learned because it. You don't get a chance to learn.
You can't retain it.
Yeah. You can't retain it. Yeah. Oof. Oh my god. Yeah, I almost. I'll tell you this story real quick, and then we'll get to your unpopular take. I would say a time that I probably should have died. I was in elementary school. Remember when you were, I don't know if this was, you're like, you know, fucking 15 years younger than me, but when you would go like, in middle school, when you'd go down the slide or to elementary school, do you know what a traffic jam is when everyone goes down the slide at the same time?
Yeah.
Well, this is what we were doing. And the guy behind me or the kid or whatever accidentally put too much pressure on my bum bum with his foot. And
no.
I went over. And I fell.
No.
I fell head first, like a Scud missile, probably about 15 to 20 feet. Just head first, and should have broke my neck. I don't know how I did not break.
Oh
my
god! Did you get revenge on that kid?
No, I did not. I don't even know. I did because here's what happened: is he felt bad. They all came off the slide. I was like, "Are you okay? Hold on. Oh my god, are you okay?" And I got up. I didn't. I was like, "Yeah, I'm fine." And then I started getting like a migraine about a half hour later.
Oh no!
While I was in class. And that's when I started crying. I was in elementary school. I might've been in fourth grade. And then I started crying. I was like, yeah, this headache is killing me right now. And yeah. So I think that's why I lack empathy. No, I'm kidding. I did freak me out though. And then like, I listen to a lot of true crime stuff. I'm really into the true crime.
Oh, head injuries.
Yep. 100%, Ellie. Yes. Yeah,
that you went out. Oh, God, you could have been a serial killer. This could have been a different type of podcast.
Yes. Let me tell you something.
I wouldn't be the host. You'd be the subject.
Yes, I would be. Yeah. For people that will listen to this, Ellie loves possums. I mean, and which just goes to show you how funny and quirky you are, because I don't think most people, I think this is going to hurt your feelings. I hope we're still friends after this.
Yeah.
But I think they're the most horrific things I've ever seen in my life.
What?
The look of possums scare the shit out of me. So
I'll send you some cute baby pictures of them and you'll love them.
How did you become fascinated with possums? How did this develop? Did you fall off a slide?
Came out of my child TBI. Like, God damn, I like marsupials. But I like them because they're misunderstood.
So why do you think that they're misunderstood?
Well, because people are like, oh, they carry rabies. Like, no, they don't. Their body temperature doesn't allow it. And they're like, oh, they're mean. It's like, no, they just bare their teeth like as an anxiety, like They do it to look scary. They don't bite.
Interesting.
And they're so soft, and they have object permanence skills.
Now, how did you come in contact? Like, how did you get your hands on a possum?
So I scheduled a private zoo tour because.
So fucking, I love this so much.
That's what happens when you can't make serotonin any other way. You schedule a zoo tour. So yeah. The Ann Arbor Creature Conservancy, it's this little zoo, or they're not a zoo. It's like it's an animal conservancy in Ann Arbor, hence its name. They gave private tours over COVID, and one of the exhibits was you got to hold a baby possum.
Okay.
And my heart exploded out of my asshole. When this sweet little mammal was placed into my hands.
Was it sweet back? Was it adorable?
It didn't like me. It would have probably fantasized about my death.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm getting licensed next year with the Department of Natural Resources.
Really?
To become a wildlife rehabilitator with an emphasis on possums.
You know what I love about that? So, is there's no one else I know in my entire life that's doing that.
It'll be so fun. And if one, say like an adult possum gets hit by a car and has like a TBI and can't go back into the wild or else it'll get eaten like immediately, I can keep him.
Really?
He can live in my house. Yeah. So I'll probably have one and I'll bring him to shows and stuff. If people are cool with it.
What is your, I can't remember. You have a husband, right? He's not your boyfriend. It's a husband, right?
We are getting married in August.
Okay. How does your fiance feel about the possum thing?
I mean, like, he thinks it's weird as shit. But, like, of all the destructive things I can bring into our marriage, like a marsupial that eats celery sticks and then dies 3 years later.
Yeah.
Isn't that bad?
No, it's not at all. I, man.
It could be worse.
You know what? I'm glad that I could ask you that question, because I was really wondering for a while, you know, because you'd post a lot of pictures of possums and stuff. And I was like, you know, I'm going to have to ask her eventually what this is about. Like, how did this happen? Like,
they're just my favorite little animals.
I love it.
And,
love
you know,
it.
Like they're funny looking. Like you might not describe them as cute, but they're very useful. That one possum eats thousands of ticks a season.
Wow.
They help prevent Lyme disease.
Look, I'm open to changing my mind. I'm trying to be that person now. So maybe, you know, maybe I'll give it another, I'll give it a goog, you know, and maybe I'll feel slightly different. You know what it is you only, I used to jog at night a lot back in the day, and I would come across possums jogging and they would scare the fuck out of me because they'll just pop out of nowhere.
Oh yeah.
And I only, you know, they're nocturnal. So I've only really seen them live at night. I've seen them dead during the day, like in a road or something, but I've only seen them live at night. So you can't really get a good gauge on it. Although I don't know. I think
in a year when I have mine and we're at the same place at the same time, I will bring beans to you and he will teach you that he's not scary. He's nice.
You already have a name for him and stuff.
Beans.
Oh my god, dude.
I have a little bed picked out for him too.
You know what? It's just like, you know what? Just like the hair thing, right? You're worried about the hair thing. It's like, you know what? You can do whatever the fuck you want at this point because you're yep. settled down. So you can like weird animals if you want.
Oh yeah. I can be like, oh what, you want to divorce me over like, okay, fine, I'll get out of your life forever. If you don't like beans, I'll just leave. We'll never speak again.
All right, so what is your unpopular take?
Unpopular take, bridal showers besides burn in hell.
Besides loving possums.
Besides being freakishly obsessed with opossums.
Yeah, all right, go ahead. I'm sorry, what is the unpopular take?
Oh, my unpopular opinion is bridal showers can burn in hell. I hate them. Oh God, I hate them more than anything.
Now, how many bridal showers have you attended?
I would say probably like under 10 total,
okay.
But they're just the worst goddamn things.
Mm-hmm.
I have a whole like set about just, oh, that just the concept of like, oh, you found a person to fuck forever. So now we have to buy you shit.
Yes. And then if you have I agree with that. Cause then the baby shower comes later and then, it's all, it is a weird thing, right? To get gifts for
It's weird to watch another grown ass adult open gifts. I'm like, are we all 6 years old again?
Yeah. Just take them home. You put them in the trunk, you know, throw me a text message later. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, or maybe I can just like Venmo you $50. I don't have to go to this shit.
Then you have to go to the wedding. It's a lot. Like there's like,
it's
a wedding. You got to go to a bridal shower, a wedding, then possibly, a baby shower. Like it's a lot. Then there's like, you know, they have the gender reveal.
Maybe I'm just like a bitter asshole, but it's like the people who are like, celebrate me and all of my life script things. It's like, they're not going to come like watch you do a cool show.
No, they're not.
They don't really care about your shit unless you're getting knocked up and married too.
Also, I've been working on this bit where I talk about going to weddings as to friends' weddings. And this is why I'm also against like the whole, I mean, I've never been to a bridal shower, obviously, but a wedding. When you go to a friend's wedding, unless you're like, I'll go to, you know, people, relatives' wedding. I don't have a problem with that. Or like a super close friend's wedding. That's fine. But if you just go to like a friend's wedding, you know, a friend that you know, before the wedding you saw, you know, maybe once a month or something, just a friend, you know?
Yeah.
This is the bit I was kind of working on. Cause I truly believe this. Like the one thing weddings and funerals have in common in my experience is that you're never going to see that person again. Like
you're not, oh shit. You're not wrong.
It's dark as shit. And I don't know if it's going to kill or do well on stage, but it is like, yeah,
I think it'll do well.
Cause it's like a solid, yeah, it's true though. For lots of people, your wedding is, and then I tagged it with like, you can pretend this is your wedding, but I'm going to pretend it's my going away party.
That's good. I love, yes. It's like, okay, I'm getting married in August, right?
Congratulations.
So, but thanks. But I'm not expecting everyone I know to like give up their time and money. Like, sure. I'm just having a tiny wedding ceremony with my immediate family. Like,
I love that.
I'm expecting, it's 12 people. I'm expecting none of my friends to put like financial skin in this game.
I love it. And you know what? If they want to, they can. They can just be like, hey, let me send you a gift. You're not like, you're not putting them in a position where it's like, oh, should I bring a gift? It's like, hey, if you feel that way, you can. But I love the fact that you're having like you're having a wedding.
Yeah.
Everyone is still going to be there and you're still going to see them after the wedding.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want people to be like, oh, we have to take a weekend and like get a hotel and buy this dumb bitch an air fryer.
Yeah. And it seems to be the big gift right now. Everyone's talking about them air fryers, you know?
We already have one.
I love it. I love it. And it's all, but I also feel, I love that you're saying it because you're going to be getting married. So to me, I don't feel it. Like to me, I'm a single guy. So if I say it, it just sounds like I'm being bitter. You know what I mean?
Like I can see why people think that. I don't personally think that because we're just too, neither one of us wants to fork over $70 at Bed Bath and Beyond.
Yeah, dude. I really don't.
Nope.
The last friend's wedding I went to was my friend Sam, not the Sam we know, but my friend Sam, who was a bartender at Joey's Comedy Club. We became pretty good friends. And I haven't seen her since though.
Gotcha.
I went to her wedding like probably 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. And we talk on Facebook, but I haven't hung out with her since. And, so before I let you go, I do again, thank you for being
on. Oh, for sure.
How are you feeling about comedy? Are you excited to go back to it? Do you miss it?
I miss it. I did a lot of fiction writing during quarantine. So like I had an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel good about that. Well, I miss comedy. I think once I'm vaccinated and then 2 weeks after my vaccination, like I'm good to go back. Like, of course I'll still wear a mask and like not be a dick, but like,
I think I'm going to see you in May. Yeah. I think. Yeah.
It'll be good.
I can't wait.
Kind of glad to have the time to develop something else. Like I miss the shit out of stand up. I'm excited to go back,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. It was fun to do another thing.
Yeah. Before I let you go, what was the story? You're right. What was the fiction story?
I wrote a YA novel and actually pitched it to agents.
I don't know what a YA novel is. What is a YA novel?
Young adult.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
Yep. And then I am starting a romantic comedy because I'm getting my period in 20 minutes about comedians.
Oh my God. I love it. You said you pitched the young adult novel?
I did. Yeah.
So how do you, are you going to get it published or?
I mean, like, I would love to get a literary agent.
Uh-huh.
It takes a while. And like, I don't have like much training in writing. Like I went to school for a French horn. Right. Like I'm kind of behind the curve a little bit.
Yeah.
But I also don't have many other hobbies.
Is that your pitch? Like I wrote this this story. It's a young adult novel. But I only have experience in French horn. And like, what?
It's like, I wrote this with words or I could play it for you.
Yeah. Well, look, I hope we do some shows together in May. I know
the
next show I'm on is I am doing Johanna's show at the end of April. And that's because it's outside. So that makes me feel better. But I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Cool. All right. See ya.
Thanks, Ellie.